We begin the current Daf Ziyavam is Daf Lamed Ches. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. And that is, we had mentioned a unique case in our previous Mishnah regarding a man who died without any children. So his Yavam came and did Yibum, but then it turns out that she's pregnant. But it's not clear if the child was conceived from the first husband, which thus makes the Yavam into having relations with an Eishes Ach, or was it from the second, from the Yavam? Was this child born 9 months from the first husband, or was it born 7 months from the second husband? That's called in the halacha in these dafim suffix. It's doubtful who the paternity is, who the father is. Was it the first or was it the second? Now, the halacha ramifications the Gemara brings regarding the halachas of mamnus, of money, which is regarding Yerusha. Is the suffix part of which family? Is he from the first man or is he from the second man? So the Gemara had four different cases that it spoke about regarding what the halacha would be when, let's say, the suffix, this doubtful child, when he's coming to split with the Yavam regarding his father's. Is it his father, the first one, or is he a child of the Yavam? Now the Gemara continues with similar cases regarding this question. Case number five is suffix v'yavam. If you have this doubtful child, not sure if he's the child of the first one, which we call the mace, or the yavam, which is the second man, and you have the yavam, shebo lachlik b'nichsei saba. They're coming to split the inheritance from the grandfather. In other words, the father of the man who died, and the yavam, he dies, leaving an inheritance, and there's only two people remaining. There's this doubtful child, if he's the child of the mes or of the yavam, and then there's the yavam. So in that, the Gemara says, Safak Amar, the doubtful child, says, Hi Garba, that person, meaning me, Bar Misnahu, he is the child of the one who died. And therefore, Palga Didihu, half goes to me. Because there's two sons for the grandfather, which was the one who died and the Yavam, and I'm the child of the one. He's claiming the child of the one who died. So he gets 50 and the Yavam gets 50. Yavam Amar, the Yavam tells him, he says, Wait, At Beroi Didiat, you're my son. You were born 7 months from me, not 9 months from the previous man. You don't get anything. So on that, the Gemara says, So the Yavam is definitely a Yerush. He's definitely inheriting because he knows he's the son of the grandfather, and he has a chazakah in these nechasim because he's definitely getting at least 50%, maybe even 100%. But Safik, and this person who we always call Safik, this doubtful person, is doubtful. He doesn't know where his place is, if he gets 50% because he's the son of the one who died, or if he gets nothing because he's the son of the Yavam. And Ve'ein Safik Meitzim Nevadei, that's always halacha, that a doubtful does not be able to remove and take away from someone that's definite, and since at least on some level the Yavam is definite, the Safik doesn't get anything. Now Rashi clarifies that you can't compare this to the case of the previous daf, that of Rav Misharshia, which was case number two, when you have the Suffolk and the Bnei Yavam coming to split in the Nechasim of the Yavam's brother, meaning of the Meis Nechasim, where there the halacha was quoted as Yachleiku, because there, even though the Suffolk, this child that we always call the Suffolk, although definitely was called a Malav Shach, on some level he has some type of inheritance over here, because if he's from the son of the mess, he gets everything. If it's the son of the Yavam, so he splits with them, still he's not considered, as we're finding in this case, what's called a Vadai, to say that then the other brothers who are still Suffolk, because if it's the Nechasim of the mess and he's the son of the mess, they don't get anything, because as we explained in the previous Daf, he doesn't know for sure this Suffolk who and what powers are bringing him to merit. He just knows somewhere he's got to get something over here. And therefore over there we're going to say Yachleiku, because he's not a Vadai. He's definitely Vadai in that he's going to get something. But it's not Vadai in how he's ascertaining how he gets it. And therefore there's going to be Suffolk v'Suffolk, not Suffolk and Vadai. Whereas over here it's a Suffolk and a Vadai, and ain't Suffolk mitzvah de Vadai. And therefore the Yavam gets everything. Case number six is Suffolk uvenei Yavam, similar to the previous one, but it's now the doubtful child and the sons of the Yavam, Shebo lachlik b'nichsei saba, they're coming to split the inheritance of their grandfather. I mean, they're the only ones that are left, the two fathers, the mess and the Yavam, they died already. And now the grandfather died, now the grandchildren are coming to split it. So Suffolk Amar, the doubtful child, is saying, Hahu gavra, that person, meaning me, bar misna, who is the son of the one who died, and therefore apagadidihu, I get half. And the Yavam's kids, who are, there's two of them, you get half, but I get half. I don't split three-way with you. You get half because you're coming from your father. I get half because I'm coming from my father. But the sons of the Yavam say, no, achunaat, you're our brother. U'menasa islach badan. You have a portion with us, but you only get a third. You don't get half because we're three brothers of one father. Now, the Gemara says the halacha is palga dekumaydiluhu shakli. Half, which he's agreeing that they get, I mean, there's three individuals, the Safik and the two sons of the Yavin. So he's saying, I get half because I'm coming from one father, and you get half because you're coming from the other half. You have to split half amongst the two of you. So half of it, he's agreeing already that they get some of it. So let's say, as Rashi says, the case is talking about that there are six golden coins that they're splitting. So they already get half, which is three out of the six. Tilsa the Kamoidule, and the third that they agree that he gets, because they're saying he's a third of the three brothers. So he gets two golden coins. That's 2/6. That's 1/3 of all the properties. Now, Shakal, that's what he takes, because they said, you're our brother, and therefore the two and him is three, so they have to split it three ways. So what's remaining from this machlekes that they're having? Pashla Hudanka were left with 1/6, because he's agreeing they get 3/6. And they're agreeing he gets 2/6, so that's 5/6. So there's 1/6 that's remaining. That's the one thing that they're fighting over, where he's saying it all goes to me because I get half and you get half. So you get 3/6 and I get 3/6. And they're saying that no, it's ours that we get to split because you really got your third. So that the halacha is have a mum and hamutl besavik v'cholkin. So that's the halacha, which is whenever you have doubtful money, which no one has any way of proving that it's theirs, and they get split, and he gets half of that sixth. And they, amongst the two of them, split that sixth. Now the seventh case the Gemara brings is Shaba v'yavim b'nechsei safik. You have the grandfather and his son, the Yavim, who they're coming to split b'nechsei safik in the properties of this doubtful child. So you have three generations. You have grandfather, one of his sons, the Yavim, that's still alive. The other one had died, that was the first brother. And then this child, who we're not clear who was the father, the mace, or the Yavim. So in that case, the grandfather is saying that this Safik, this doubtful child, is actually the son of my first son, the one who died. Now, since this grandchild of mine doesn't have anyone to inherit him, I'm first. As Rashi brings from the Mishnah Masechtas Baba Basa Daf Kaf Tes Vav Aman Aleph, it says that the father is the first of all the people to inherit. And therefore, since this is my child's child, so you go upward, he doesn't have an inheritor, so the first one is the father, and that's my son, and I'm his father. Whereas the Yavim says, no, he's my son, and I inherit him, because like you said, the father comes first, and he's my child. That's case number 7. Case number 8 is, Oisaba v'safik b'nichse Yavim, or you have the grandfather, and this doubtful child, meaning his grandchild in some level, that are coming to argue and split over the properties of the Yavim, who the second son of the grandfather just died, where that Yavim doesn't have any other child. So the grandfather says that you're the son of my first son, the one who died, and I get to inherit my son, the Yavim, who dies now because he doesn't have any children, because you're not his child. You're the child of my first son. Whereas the doubtful child says, no, I'm the son of the second one, and I get to inherit it because the son comes before a father. So that the Gemara says, have a moment, hamotel besafik v'chalkin. That's doubtful money, and they split it because maybe it's all this person's, and maybe it's all this person's. Because the father can't say that he's definitely muhzik, because if this is the son, then the father doesn't get anything, and therefore this is going to be the classic halacha of moment, hamotel besafik is going to be chalkin. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which is exactly like a Mishnah in Ksubis daf pei. But the reason why it's being brought over here is because as the case opens up, it's regarding the content of Masechtas Yevamos. The halacha is Shemeres Yavim. But the word Shemere means to anticipate, where you have a woman, and that's the term of where it's called Shemeres Yavim, she's anticipating and waiting for the Yavim, meaning her husband died without any children. But the Yavim didn't do anything, didn't do Yivim Chalitza, so she's in that state. Now, Shenafalo Nechasim, that Nechasim fall to her, meaning she inherits from her father certain properties. Now, at this point, the Gemara assumes that it fell to her when she was a Shemeres Yavim, meaning she didn't get it when she was still married to her first husband. She's in this intermediate stage where she's waiting for the Yavam. At that time, she inherits something from her father. So on that, the Mishnah says, Meidim b'sham e'besila, both b'sham e'besila agree, meaning although that they do argue in a similar arena in Halacha, which is regarding an arusa, a woman that's engaged, where their b'sila does not allow of that woman to be selling things, But in the case of a Shemeres Yavam, which is lower down, both Bisham and Basil agree, Shemecheres v'nisenes v'kaim, that she could sell these properties, she could give them, and the sale stands. It's a valid sale. Now, the Mishnah continues, Mesa, but if she dies, so that's one halacha regarding Shemeres Yavam. And again, these are really the concepts of Masechtas Ksubis, but it's being brought over here because we're talking about Shemeres Yavam. So Mesa, if the Shemeres Yavam dies, so the question is, Mayasa b'ksubasa, what should be done with her ksuba? Meaning a woman gets from her husband that just died, who she just was widowed from her husband without any children, there's a ksuba that she gets. What should be done with that ksuba? Moreover, what should be done ubenachasim anachnasim v'yetznima? What should be with the properties that come in and out with her from the marriages that she goes into? Which, as Rashi defines, that's a reference to nichsim melug, which the halachas of nichsim melug is that the properties are always hers. It's just that the husband gets to consume the payers, so he has the utility of the objects themselves. Now, but when she goes into a marriage, it goes in with her, and when she goes out with her, it's as is. It's not like nichsi tzorim bazel, which are that ironclad in the sense of that the husband says, I'll pay you whatever it's worth right now when you leave me. Here it's no, it's whether it goes up or down, it will be her loss or her gain. And it's just the husband gets to use the objects. So what happens with those properties that are owned by her? What happens now that she dies? So we have a machleikis. He says that the Yerusha Habal, which is another term for the Yavam, because the Yavam takes over the properties of her original Baal, and that split im Yerusha Av with the inheritors of the father, meaning that's a reference to the wife's relatives, which is her father's family. Now the reason why Bishami say that it's split is because her status right now as the Shemeres Yavam is a status of doubtful marriage. And that is because we don't know what is going to happen. Is she going to have this relationship consummated with the Yavam, thus she's like married to him, or is it not going to be? So therefore the Yavam gets half of inheritance out of doubt, and that's because the husband inherits his wife, and this Yavam is like a doubtful married to her, so he gets half. Now Rashi clarifies that actually the Gemara will explain that regarding her ksuba, Beishami does agree that it's in the chazaka of the husband, meaning that of the Yavam, because there's no suffix regarding a ksuba. Ksuba the husband always has, as long as he's alive, the wife can't get it. And when he dies, that goes straight to the Yavam. And actually, there the Yershei Av, meaning from the wife's side, will not inherit it. And it's actually regarding only the Nichsi Malug, where, as the Gemara will clearly prove, that's where Beishami was saying that they split it. But the whole entire Mishnah will be explained in many different ways in the Gemara to understand the basic concepts of the Mishnah. So that's Beishami. Beishami says if she dies, what happens with her Nichsi Malug, with the properties that she owns? It's split between her or the Yavam, meaning when we say Yavam, we call that the Yershei Habal, and her, we call the Yershei Av. Ubisil Aimrim, still argue. And they say three different halachas which are related to the same concept. They say, Nechasim Becheskasim, the properties remain in their original chazaka, meaning their pre-established status, which the Mefarshim explained this to mean this first variable that he's explaining is the Nechzi Tzerm Barzel, where those are properties that, if let's say it's worth $100 when she comes into the marriage, so the husband now it's considered his, and when she leaves, she gets that $100. Now, actually, it's a machlekes in Baba Basra who is considered the muchzik of these things, but whoever it is the one that gets it now when she dies. The second thing is ksuba becheskes yerusha habal. The ksuba, as the Gemara will explain, that Beishami actually agrees to this concept of Beisil, that's in the chazaka, it's in the pre-established ownership of the inheritors of the husband, which that's a reference to the Yavam, who he inherits the husband, that's where the ksuba then gets transferred to. And the third one, this is where he argues with Bishamai, nechasim hanechnasim ayetznima, the properties of the nichsei melug, which come in and out with the wife, it's considered really hers, it's just the husband gets to use it, that's actually becheskes yershei ha'av. It doesn't get split with the yershei ha'bal, meaning with the Yavam, it's all considered the wife's because it was always considered hers. And now that she dies, although you have a case of, let's say, like a suffix if she's married to the Yavam, but that suffix will not remove it from the chazaka of the wife, which goes to her father's family. Now, the Mishnah concludes, this was all talking about a Shemeres Yavam, which was this middle stage of not being married to her first husband and yet not released from the Yavam. But if the Yavam goes ahead and consummates this relationship, does Yibam, then she's considered his full-fledged wife. and therefore everything goes to him. Ubavad shetei ksuba al nichse ba'al harishon. As long as there is going to be her ksuba on her first husband, the one that died. Now, the Gemara will explain this enigmatic statement, but first the Gemara goes and asks a basic question, which the Gemara will give four different interpretations to understand this difference. The Gemara asks the following question. Maishno Reisha, what's the difference between the first part of the Mishnah? Meaning, when she's alive, we spoke about, we opened up the case, Shemer Siavim, that if she has Nechasim, we're there Deloi Pligi. There, Beishame do not argue. They don't say that it's split amongst the Yershe Habal and the Yershe Ha'av. We say rather what's hers is hers. She has a chazaka on her properties that she inherited from her father. And moreover, therefore, everyone agrees that she could sell, she can gift to whoever she wants to. It's considered hers. U'mayishna seifa de pligi, but what's the difference by the seifa? Where Bishamai do argue, and they say that when she dies, then the chasim are not considered these nichsim alug in the chazaka of her inheritors. Rather, there he says that only half will go to her inheritors, to the Yershe Ha'av, but half will go to the Yershe Ha'bal. Why? What's the difference? In the Reisha, you agreed when she's alive, it's all hers, these nechsim ilug. Yet when she dies, then you say, oh, now we're not going to consider it in the status of Shemer's Yavim that it's all hers. There, only half is going to her family, but half will go to the Yavim's family. Why is that? So the first interpretation of the Gemara is Amma Ula. Ula says the following difference. Actually, Reisha, the Nafla, the Reisha is told about that she felt for Yibam kishahi arusa, meaning she was only engaged to her first husband, to the brother of the Yavam. And that's when the Nechasim fell to her, which was what the Reisha Mishnah was talking about when she was a Shemeres Yavam. The Seifa, the Nafla, but the Seifa was told about that she fell in front of the Yibam for the Yavam for Yibam kishahi nesua, when she was already married, she was already married to his brother, to her first husband. Now, therefore, the Reisha that was talking, that even if she was a full-fledged Arusa, still Beishame hold that you're allowed to sell, as the Mishnah will later on will bring, so all the more so in this case where she's not even a full-fledged Arusa, she's just a Zakuk from an Arison, meaning she was engaged, as Ula's explained now, she was only engaged to his brother, to her first husband. Now there's a bond of Yibam that's being created from Arison. So that's a step down. Similarly, Beis Hill, that they say when there's a definite Arusa. So Beis Hill say that, like at Chila, initially, in Nalara, the Shemeres Yavim, this Arusa would not be able to sell. But if she sells, after the fact, that works. Now, that's by a regular Arusa. But here, where it's like, as we just explained, a Suffolk Arusa, where there's this bond of we're not sure what's going to happen with that, and she's not full-fledged his fiancé, he's fully engaged to him, so then even Beis Hill would agree that, as it says in the beginning of our Mishnah, that Mecheres, in the sense of Ketchil, that she can go ahead and sell and give things as a gift. And the reason is because, whereas by the Sefer, where, as we explained, the Reish and the Sefer, although it seems like it's talking about the same case, Ula said it's not. The Reish is talking about when she was falling to Yibam from her first husband that she was only engaged to, and the Sefer was talking about that she was married. So therefore, by the Sefer, where a regular woman that's married, where there, everybody agrees, whatever she sells and whatever she gives, even after the fact, the husband could go to the ones who bought it and say, you can't buy it, it's mine, she's married to me, all her properties belong to me. So therefore, regarding that case where now there's a zika of nisuin, whereas we explained that the status of a Shemeres Yavim is a status of doubt. We don't know what's going to happen. So it's a step down from nisuin, so it's not like full-fledged like a marriage, so the properties are in a state of doubt. Now, therefore, that's what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue in our Mishnah. Beis Shammai say it's better to split it because it's a doubt. Beis Hillel say that, no, that the chazakas are better. But however, as the Gemara explains, that is that because Uksavar Ula holds, as we just explained, that Zikas Arusa, the Zika, the bond that's created between the Yavama and the Yavam, if she's falling from Arison, meaning that she was only engaged to her first husband, that's Isis Suffolk Arusa. That creates, when we continue on Talmud Beis, a status of doubtful Arison, but not like definite engagement. As we say, there's two stages to marriage. There's Arison, which makes the engagement, and then there's going to be Nisuin, which is the marriage. Now, the Arison is lower than Nisuin, And now we're saying that the zika from them, the bond that's created of Yibum, is even a step down of each one of those stages. Now, Rashi clarifies that although regarding properties, there actually is nothing that the Arusa has to the Aris, so it comes out that the zika of the Arusa definitely wouldn't be anything, still, Ula is calling it a Suffolk Arusa, because Ula can't say that the zika of Arusa is nothing, because there's definitely something that's being created between the bond of the Yavama from Arison, from the first stage of marriage, from if she was just engaged to her first husband, to the Yavam, because there's a mandate of Chalitza. So it's definitely something. Although regarding properties, you're right, it doesn't mean anything by saying that it's a Suffolk Arusa, because there's nothing that's included in that. However, Zikas Nisua is a Suffolk Nisua, but the bond from Nisuan makes it a Suffolk of Nisuan, and that's the difference of the two parts of the Mishnah. So though it sounds like that it was a contradiction in Beis Shammai, whereas by Shemeris Yavam, when she's alive, he says, it's all hers, the next Simulog. She could sell it, she could do whatever she wants to. Then, when she's dead, then he says, oh, it's not like Bissel, it's not all hers. We say that half goes to her and half goes to the Yavam's family, but why? It's the same thing, she's in the same status. And that was saying that no. The Reish was talking about that she was just engaged. Just engaged. So that's a step, and it's not just that she's engaged. She's a Zika of Arison, which is like a Suffolk type of Arison. There, for sure, you could do whatever you want. But the Sefer was talking about the case that she had died was that she was fell to Yibam from Nisuin. So that makes a Suffolk Nisua, and that is where, if she was regular married, then of course it would go to the Yavam. If she's not married, then it's going all to her, so it's Suffolk. So Beis Shammai may say you should split it, and Beis Hillel says no, since it's a Suffolk, you go based on the Chazakah. And the Chazakah up until now, we knew that it was her property, the Nichsim Alug, and that's why she gets to keep it, meaning she's dead, but her family. Now the Gemara proves that this is what Ula holds, that Zikas Arusa Isis Suffolk Arusa, that the bond that's coming from an engagement of the first husband creates only a doubtful engagement. Because if you would entertain that Ula would hold, that it would make a definite Arison, meaning that the Zika is the same as what her original marriage to her first husband was, but then in the Resha of our Mishnah, which was talking about, as Ula had said, where she's falling from Arison, Maidim Beis Hill, Shemecheres, from the Senes Mekayim, would Beis Hill agree that initially the Shemeres Yavim could go ahead and sell and give, and the sale is valid? But what now we're in the Mishnah Masechet Kesubis that says, if properties fall to the woman from when she was engaged, meaning she's engaged, and as she's during her engagement, meaning halachic engagement, meaning with the ring, not in current times engagement, which is not a halachic engagement. So in that time period, if she inherits something, she could sell it. Beis Hillel say that she cannot sell initially. Now, both of them agree that if she does, after the fact, if she sold and she gives it, that will be valid. But one thing we see is that Beis Hillel would hold by an Arusa that she's not allowed to sell. And here in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel say that she could sell. Because it's a step down. Zika Arusa, Isis Suffolk Arusa. The bond of Zika that is to the Yavama from the Yavam, if it's falling from Arison, is only like a halachic of a doubtful, because it is doubtful, it's not clear if they're going to consummate this relationship or not, and that's why in our Mishnah, as Ula had explained, the Shemeres Yavam could sell it even like a tchila, because the Zika of Arusa is only like a Savik Arusa. Similarly, as we had explained, that must be that Ula holds, Zikas Nesua Isis Savik Nesua. The bond of a Yibum that falls from Nisuin only makes it a step down, like a doubtful Nisuin. Because if you would entertain that, it makes it like a definite Nisuin. But then, regarding the Sefer, the Mishnah, which, as Ula had interpreted, it's told about a case of when she falls from Nisuin. It says, the Beshame say, that the inheritors of the husband, meaning the Yavim, split it with the inheritors of the father, meaning from the wife's side. Would that be true? But now we learned over there in that Mishnah Masechtas Ksubis that says, Nafla Nechasa Mishanisis, if she inherits something when she's already married, Eilav Eilav Maidim, both Bishamis will agree, Shem Machru Benasna, that if she did sell and if she gave, that Shabal Mitzmiyad Alekucha is that the husband can go to the buyers and say, give it back to me. As we explained before, because when you're a definite Nisua, the husband could go back and say that I own it. And yet over here in our Mishnah, Bishami says that it's not all the husbands, it's not all the Yavams. Rather, what we can infer from over there is that Over here in our Mishnah, it's only Zikas Nesua, where it's the bond of from a Nesua, that's Isis Safik Nesua, that only makes a doubtful situation of Nisuan, where that makes the properties in a doubtful status. There, Bishami hold, it's better to split it because she doesn't have a chazaka more than him, because his hand is like her hand, meaning they both have equal rights. If it's a Nisuan, then it's all his. If it's not Nisuan, it's all hers. Whereas Beisol hold that a chazaka is better, where because her hand is his hand is not like her hand, he doesn't have the same strength as the Yavama herself, because since it didn't fall to her when she was married to her husband, where if it fell to her when she was married to her husband that died, then that would go straight to the Yavama. It only fell to her when she was in the state of Shemeres Yibum, so then it's going to go when she dies to her inheritors, and it's not going to be split with his. But one thing we see is that definitely according to Ula, that the Zika makes it a step down. Zika's Erison makes it Suffolk Erison, and Zikas Nesuin makes it Suffolk Nesuin. That's Ula's interpretation, how to resolve this seemingly contradiction in Bishami's opinion in our Mishnah. Now that the Gemara asks, Amalei Rabba, Rabba asked to Ula, if the reason that you're saying in Bishami's opinion in the Seifa, that he says that the Yershe Habal split it with the Yershe Av, because splitting is better than Chazaka, but then, based on your case conceptualization, instead of arguing about the actual properties themselves, Ula Achamisa, and talking about that after she died, meaning after the Shemeres Yavam died, which that's the case that Amish is talking about in the Sefer, based on your explanation, they could have said it without her dying. They could have said that the argument is when she's still alive, and regarding the Peiris, the utility of those Nechasim, meaning, according to Bishamai, the Yavam would split the payrois with her. Because, as you just explained, in the case of the Seif, when she falls from the Nisuin of her first husband, she's a Suffolk Nisua. Because if she's considered a definite Nisua, then he would take all of it because he's married her. And if he's not, then she would take all of it. Now, according to Beis Hillel, Nochasim are in the Chazaka, and therefore he wouldn't take anything, and as Beis Hillel says, she gets to keep it. Now, so therefore, you could have had it very easily even with her alive. Now, from the fact that the Mishnah in the Sefer said that it's talking about a case when she dies, obviously the reason of Bishama in the ratio, where there's obviously this discrepancy which the Gemara is coming to explain, that makes her chazaka stronger, that she's mecheres in the sense of Akayim, must be, is because, what's the case differential? It's because that's the Tomat, that she's alive. But not just because of, like Ula had been explaining, because that's just a Suffolk Arusa. Because if that was the explanation of the cases, then why do you have to say in the Sefer that she died? You could have her alive and still have the halach of Suffolk Nisua, and that they get to split the pairs of the properties. So Elam Rabba, rather, Rabba says a second interpretation for the explanation of Beis Shammai's opinion. Actually, both the Risha and the Sefer told me that she falls to Yibim Kishnisua when she was married to her first husband, to his brother. And like we had said before, the bond from a nefila of nisuin makes like a doubtful nisuin. However, reisha dehi kaima, as Rab had pointed out, the first case is talking about that she's still alive. So she's considered halacha like a definite, meaning because the properties themselves, since we're talking about nichsim ilog, are either way hers. So therefore, that already strengthens her chazaka because she definitely has something over here. V'inhu safig, but they, the Yershe Habal, meaning what we always refer to as the Yavam, is only doubtful because we don't know. We're considering this as a safik nisun. Maybe they're going to get married to consummate the Yibam, maybe not. So it's a safik. She's a vadai because she has the nichsei melug. It's always considered hers, and he's a safik. Vein safik, meitim de vadai, and the safik cannot remove an avadai. That's why the Reish of Bishamai says that she could sell and she could do whatever she wants because she holds on to it. Whereas Seifa, since the Mesa, that's Toma that she died, so halalu bo'in leirish, so you have the Yershe Av that are coming to inherit, and they're coming, their claim is coming from the tainess of Yerusha of inheritance. The halalu, and they, the Yershe Abal, meaning the Yavam, bo'in leirish, they're also coming to inherit. His whole taina that he gets it is not because he's married to her, she's dead. It's only come because he's the one that inherits her husband, which is his brother. And therefore, since they're both a suffolk, according to Beis Shammai, that's why the halacha is going to be that v'yachleiku. Now, the reason is because if the zika, the bond, is like being married, so then the yersha ha'av, meaning her side, doesn't get anything because the husband inherits everything. If she's not like kiknus, if she's not like she's married, so then the yavam doesn't get anything. So therefore, that's a case of doubt. And that's why, according to Beis Shammai, they split it. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, he says no. He says, since that the her relatives are definitive, because she had a chazaka always in these properties up until now, so her family gets and retains that chazaka, and that's why they get to split that. But you're right, Rabbi says. If it's told me that she would be alive, and in regards to the Paris, then even Beis Shammai would agree that the Nechasim retained their chazaka, and that the husband, this Yavam, wouldn't take anything, because they retain that chazaka, as the Reish is talking about. That if she's alive, she's a Vadai, and he's only going to be a Suffolk. The Sefer is talking about something else. When she's dead, then everyone who's stating a claim is coming from inheritance. That inheritance, for everybody, is a case of doubt. There, the Yersha Avar in doubt and the Yersha Baal are in doubt, and that's what's going to be Achleiku. That's Rabbah's interpretation. And that the Gemara says, Esvi Abaya. Abaya asks on Rabbah's interpretation. Is it true, the Beis Shammai, the way you're explaining Beis Shammai's opinion in the Reisha, that Beis Shammai holds Ein Savig Meitzim De Vadai? You said that the reason why in the Reisha was different because she was still alive. Then she's Vadai, because Nechsim Luga always considered hers. So she's Muchzig. He's a Safik, because it's a Safik Nisuan. So you said that there he cannot remove her based out of his doubt from her definitiveness, and therefore she could do whatever she wants with it. But when she's dead, then everyone's a Safik, then it's Yechleku. Is that true that Beis Shammai holds of this halachic concept that a doubt cannot take something out from a Vadai? But now we're in the Mishnah Baba Basra that says, following case, Nafal Abayis Olav Alav, if a person and his father are in a house, and the house collapses on them and they both die, or Alav Almay Rishav, it falls on him and those that inherit things to him. Now, it's talking about a case where the person who we're talking about, he doesn't have any of his own money or his own properties, but the one who are inheriting things to him, whether it's his father or someone else, had money. Now, Mahayu Lav Ksubis Isha, this person that either his father died with him or someone else that would inherit money to him, he had claimants, there were debtors, that was, he had his wife, his ex-wife wanted to get the Ksuba, or Ubal Chayiv, there was just someone else that he owed money to. So then the argument would be as follows. Yershahav Oimrim, the inheritors of the father would say, oh, you guys don't get anything. Because Habein Meis Rishon, we could say that the son died first, V'achach Meisav, and then the father died. And therefore, the son never inherited anything from his father because he died first. And therefore, the Baal Chayiv, the debtor, has nothing to collect from because he never inherited from his father. He died first, and then the father died. We get everything. But the claimant would say, no, Ha'av Meis Rishon. Father died first. V'achach Meis Abin, and then the son died. So the son inherited before the father died, so the son inherited. And then when he dies, but he died, but he already had properties in his domain, and we are the claimants. We get that money. So it's a machlekes. They say, okay, we don't know who died for us. It's a suffix. So they split it, both their father's inheritors and the Baal Chayiv and the Isha. They still say that the properties are in those who are the Muchzik, who were always holding on to it up until now. And therefore, the ones who are coming to claim from it now don't get anything. Now, on that, Abaya asks, regarding this case, Yershah Avadai, the inheritors of the father are definite, those that they were always established, because they're coming from a clear Yerusha of their father. And that is even more, as Rashi explains. Even if the father would die first, even the properties of the son probably falls in front of the inheritors first, because whereas the Baal Chayiv, the debtor, he still has to claim, he has to come to court to claim, till he comes to court to prove that it's owed to him that he gets it. But the second, the moment of death, the first ones that get it are the Yerusha Av. Ubal Chayiv Safik, and the claimant is a case of doubt, because it hasn't been proved yet that his document that's owed to him money is clear that he gets money. So he's only a doubtful if money is coming to him. And yet still you see, according to Beis Shammai, because Safik Umaitzi, that the Safik, which is the Baal Chayiv and the Isha that's getting a Ksuba, although they're doubtful, they come and they take away half, midei vadai, from those of the Yerushav who are definitive, because he says, yachloiku. So how can you say an explanation of the Reisha, that she, when she's a Shemeres Yavim, she could be Mecheres when the Senes Bekayam, because she's a Vadei and he's a Safik, and Ain Safik Meitzim Devadei. When we see Beis Shammai says that you could be a Safik be Meitzim Devadei, so that Rabbah answers that no. Safik Beis Shammai hold that actually is not a case of Safik and Vadei. Because Shtar Ha'omid Ligvais, a document that's waiting to be collected, and there's practically nothing in the way of it being collected, is Kegavu Dameh. It's as if it's collected already, as Rashi explains. The power of a document is so strong that it's as if the money that's owed to you is already your money. And it's as if the Baal Chayiv and the Ksubas Isha were in the place of the son, meaning whatever's coming to him goes to them. So it's as if they're the son. And therefore, they're already muchzik in whatever nechasim he would have. So hence, essentially, the Yersha Av and the Baal Chayivis are a case of Safik v'Safik, because no one has a chazaka more than anyone else. Because if the father died first, the first one that gets the chazaka is not the Yersha Av, it's the Baal Chayiv. Because we don't say, oh, what do you mean? But you didn't prove anything, you didn't collect it yet. We don't say that, because the Shtar Oymid Likvah is Kagavadamim. Now, if the son died first, then the Yershima Mukhsik. But since it's not clear who died first, so there's Safik v'Safik, so they get half in the end, the Yersha Av get half, and the Baal Chayiv gets half. Because it's not a case of Safik and Vadai, it's actually a case of Safik v'Safik. Because the Shtar is Oymid Likvah is Kagavadim, it's like as if they really take the place of the son. And the son, quote-unquote, even though he's dead now, could claim that the father died first. Now, that the Gemara asks, Manot Temer, how can you say that? Where do you see that Beis Shammai, in your way you're answering, that it's not a Safek and a Vadai, because the Shtar Emel Gavis Kegavid, I mean, where do you see that a document that's waiting to be collected, it's as if it's collected, or as if it's already your Muchzik in those Nechasim? That's not like, learn the Mishnah Masech the Saita. It says, Mesu Balein. It's talking about any woman that her husband did what's called Kinui. He warned her not to seclude herself with a certain man. And she did steer him, meaning to say she ended up secluding, she was in isolation with that man. So that's what's called commonly as the saita, the suffix saita. She's the suspected adulterous woman. So she generally, she has to go ahead and drink the mei saita, the waters, to see, well, we'll inspect her if she really committed adultery or not. Now, the halacha is the Mishnah there says, if their husbands die, actually shasu, before they got a chance to drink from the saita waters. So we have the following machlekes. Beis Shammai say, Neitlis ksubasan, that these women can take their ksuba that is owed to them from their husbands, because although there's a doubt here that maybe she was mizana, and if she was mizana, then actually she loses her ksuba money, but still she takes the ksuba, and ve'en chases, and she doesn't drink the saita waters, which would clarify if she was a zayin or not, because we need, as the pasuk says, v'hebi ha'ish es ishtai, and you don't have that. It says that the man has to bring his wife to drink the waters, and he's not alive anymore. So Beis Shammai say, they take the ksuba, and they don't drink. Beis Hillel, and they argue, they say, either you drink, and clarify that you were not mazana, or you don't take a ksuba. Now the Gemara asks on that, either they drink, that's one of the options, but if the husband died, the pasuk of Bamidbar says, "Vehevi ha'ish es ishtei amrachmana v'leka." The pasuk says that the man brings his wife, and he's not around anymore to bring her. How could that be an option? Ella, rather, what Beis Hillel was saying was, "Mitoich shleish shaisus." Since they can't drink, so le'naitlis ksubasin, so therefore they can't take the ksuba because it's a status of suffik, because she's only a suffik because she's a suffik mizana. So the vadois that the husband has in his properties, we har with our suffik cannot be mitzi that from the husband, and therefore she doesn't get a ksuba. Now that the Gemara concludes, v'ahocha de safiku, here she was a status of doubt. Safik zanai, safik loy zanai, maybe she was mezana, she committed adultery, maybe not. And yet, v'kaasi safik amaitzim devadai, and yet still, we say that her doubtful status could come and remove from the inheritors of the husband, who they're definitely mukhzik in his properties, she could come along with this doubtful ksuba, because if she was mezana, she doesn't get a ksuba, and she takes away from her husband. Ella, well, we just proved before that Beis Shammai agrees that ain't Safik Meitzim Nevade. So rather what you have to say is that Shema Minoah, obviously you can infer from there that Beis Shammai hold that Shtar Ha'imid Ligvis Kegavadami, that a document that's waiting to be collected, which is what a ksuba is considered as if it's collected already. And therefore, when the husband died, these properties automatically get transferred into the wife's chazakah. And actually, it's the other way around. It's the inheritors of the husband that are trying to remove it from her because, wait a second, maybe she was mizana. So the halacha of Safik Meitzim Devadai actually gets reversed. And we say that their doubt that they're claiming that she was Mazana cannot remove it from her Vadoyas because she definitely has it. Now Rashi clarifies one point. He says that the Gemara is in the middle of entertaining, does Beis Shammai hold as Abai is asking that Savik could be Maitzim Devadai, or like Rabbi is answering, no, it can't be Savik Maitzim Devadai. It's just because Shtaro Imin the Gavis Kagavi Dami. So Rashi explains what Rabbi is proving is that if he held that a Shtar HaEmel LeGavis would not be Kagavi Dami, and actually rather like Abaye says, that it would be based on because a Suffolk would be Maitzim Devadai, then actually the Halacha would have been regarding the Ksubas of this Isha, would have been that Yachloiku. It should have been that it's split, not that she collects the entire Ksuba, because the most it could do then, even if you say Suffolk Maitzim Devadai, it would only make the Suffolk as strong as the Vadai itself. But it wouldn't make her any better than them. From the fact that it says that she gets her whole ksuba must be because actually she's the muhzik and they're the suffik, and you don't say suffik medevadei, and that's where she gets her whole entire ksuba. Now, and Rashi clarifies one more point. He says that regarding the other case of when the house falls onto this person and his father, that we say that the bal chaybis, even though it's star im legabish kagabidami, only split it. That is, even if you say kagavidami, but the Baal Chayv will not be any better than the Yershin themselves, because no one is muhzik in the Chasim over there. It's just that the Shtar that's coming out on the Ben is not on the father, so that makes both of them actually a Suffolk the Suffolk, because if the father died first, so it comes out that the Baal Chayv is a Vaday, because the Shtar that's Omer Legab is kagavidami, and it's the son that inherited, and they get, and the inheritors don't get anything. But if the son died first, it comes out that the Yershin of Adoyin, the Baal Chayv don't have anything. That's why in that case, that of Zechleiku, but regarding the case of the Ksubis Isha, we see clearly, and that's what answers the point that Abai is bringing up, is that is Beis Shammai hold ain't Savig Maitzim Devadai. And that's the explanation of our mission in the Reisha. Although you're proving from a certain halacha that it seems that Savig Maitzim Devadai, it's actually not based on that principle. It's actually based on the principle of that the Shtar Oimel Gavis of the Baal Chayv and the Ksubas Isha makes them like it's Gavri ready, which in that case makes them like Savig Savig. And the proof is from this halacha, Mesechta Saita, where we see that the woman gets her Ksuba, even though it would seem that she's a Suffolk and they're the Vadai, but it's actually the other way around, because since the document that's there makes it as if it's yours already, so she's the Vadai and they're the Suffolk, and therefore she gets the whole entire Ksuba. Now, that the Gemara asked, based on what we just said, Vabaya, Abaya originally didn't entertain this Svara of Shtaro Imid Ligavis Kagabidami. And that was why he asked on Rabbah from the case of when the house falls on this person, on this father, where he said that obviously from there you would see that a suffix would be Maitzim Nevada. So he asked on that this, the Rabbi was saying, ain't suffix Maitzim Nevada Mishamai. So on that Abaya asked, what do you mean? I have a Mishnah in Baba Basra, that which is in a different Seder, in Seder Nezikin and Seder Yeshuas, that Luchar is not like Rabbi, that you see that a suffix is Maitzim Nevada. So on that, the Gemara is asking, obviously, he didn't know this far Ashtar Imel Gavis Kagavidim, because then he wouldn't have had the question. It wouldn't be based on Savig Maitzim Devadai. It would be based on that. So if he didn't know that Svara, then Loisvei Meha, then he should have asked from this same Mishnah Mesechta Saita that we're quoting right now, since it's in the same Seder as what we're talking about in Seder Nashim, because essentially then that's a case of a Savig being Maitzi Midevadai. Because if you don't hold of this svar, which obviously Abai did not hold of from the fact that he asked on Rabbah of Shtar Emel Gavis Kagabidami, then how exactly is this woman getting her ksuba? She's just a suffik. Oh, obviously, because suffik Maitzim Devadai. Another Gemara answer is that the reason why Abai didn't ask from this case of ksuba is because he can say that Dilma Ksubas Ishashani. That because maybe this Mishnah Masechta Saita, you're right, maybe they would be different. The ksuba of a woman is different, that is Mishum Chinah. Because of, we want that the men should find favor in the eyes of the women, that they should be willing to get married. Maybe over there, we made her muhzik and her ksuba, even though it's a suffik. And therefore, that wouldn't be a good place to ask them to say, oh, wait a second, did you also see, according to Beis Shammai, since he's not going with the logic of Shtar Emel Gavis Kagavidami, that, oh, a suffik is being made some nevada, because that wouldn't be a good case to ask from, because that would be a rabbinic injunction to say that even though she's a suffik, but based on Chinah, we want the women to be willing to get married. We say, oh, don't worry, your ksuba will be considered like a vadai, and therefore that she'll be able to get the ksuba even if she was a case of suffik zanai. But it wouldn't be a good question for him to ask from, and that's why he asked from the Mishnah Masechtas Baba Basra. But on that, the Gemara continues asking, why is Abaya asking from the Mishnah Baba Basra? V'leisvei ksuba demasnitin. Abaya should have asked from the case of our Mishnah of the Ksuba, where Beis Shammai says, Yachloiku. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara assumes right now, as it seems like from the literal reading of the Mishnah, that Beis Shammai that said Yachloiku is going on both Nechse Milog and on the Ksuba. And on that is where the Har Yerushin are coming Misafik, and they're splitting the Ksuba with the Yavam, who seemingly is the Vadai, because he's Muchzik from the Baal, who has the Ksuba, and the Yavam gets that. Now, out of doubt, because maybe that it's a Safik Nisu, and maybe she's not considered married to the Baal, and which is the Yavam, that she should get it. Now, as Rashi explains, there you can't say, as Abaye had refuted why it doesn't ask from the Mishnah in Masechta Saita because of China, you won't say China in the case of our Mishnah because it's talking about, as we said in the Sefer, that she died already. And regarding inheritors, we don't say the Svara of China, as the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubis, that Tzadi Zayin and Beis, only if the inheritors were females. And therefore, the question is, why didn't ask from our Mishnah? Where it says Yachloiku, but the ones who are Vadai are the Yershei HaBaal, the Yavam, and the Yershei HaAv, meaning her inheritors, are only a Safik, and yet still we see Yachloiku on the Ksuba. So you see Safik Mitzvah from the Vada. Why didn't ask from our Mishnah? But the Gemara actually answers, as we already alluded to this in the Mishnah, the Loi Pligi. Actually, Beis Shammai does not argue in that case. And Beis Shammai agrees regarding the Ksuba that it is in the Chazak of the Yershei HaBaal, and that it does totally go to the Yavam. And the reason is because a Ksuba is not oimidly Gaves. It doesn't have the status of saying that it's already considered muhsik and being collected when the husband is still alive, because when he's alive, he's not giving a ksuba, if he's not dead yet, to his wife. And therefore, as like the case of the Sefer is, when the Shemeres Yavim dies, when the Yavim is still alive, so her inheritors don't collect anything from the ksuba, because as we said before, the Yavim is in the place of the Baal, and the Baal is always considered muhsik in the ksuba, and it's actually true, Beis Shammai would agree. Now that the Gemara asks, Balai, is that really true that Beis Shammai doesn't argue and to say Yachloiku regarding the Ksuba? But Vaktani, read our Mishnah. It says, Mesa, if the Shemeres Yavim dies. So there was two questions we asked about. Ma yasa b'ksuba, so what should be done with her Ksuba? U'benachasim achnasim v'yaitzimimah, and with her nechsim elug. And that the Mishnah said, Beis Shammai emim Yachloiku yirsha balam yirsha av, that the inheritors of the husband, meaning the Yavam, split it together with the inheritors of the father, of the wife's side. But whereas Beis Hillel said that the Nechasma are in the Chazaka, meaning it goes with the Yershei Ha'av. But you see, Beis Shammai does say Yechleku even on the Ksuba. I think Gemara answers, Nahochikama. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Mesa, if she dies, Mayasa b'Ksuba, so what should be done with her Ksuba? And that the Gemara says, Ushvaka. The Tan of the Mishnah left the question standing. And that's because, actually, as we had mentioned before, when Beis Hillel says it's Nechasim go with their Chazaka, that will answer that question, that the Chazaka of the Ksuba is with the Yershei HaBaal, which is the Yavam, and he actually gets all of it. Then the Mishnah continues with a different question without really answering directly that question. A second question is Nechasim and Achnasim HaYetimimah, what happens with her Nechasim HaLog? And that is where Beis Shammai, Yechleku Yershei HaBaal, Yershei HaAv, that they split it, whereas Beis Hillel and Nechasim HaChazkasim. And actually, Amar Rashi says, Masnit Nami Deka, actually, a precise reading of our Mishnah indicates this. Because Diktani, it says, Yachloiku Yershei HaBaal Im Yershei HaAv. It says that the Yershei HaBaal, meaning the Yavam, will split with the Yershei HaAv, which that always sounds like that you're splitting with them, meaning the primary ones who are muhsik in this are the Yershei HaAv, which obviously is a reference to the Nechsei Milug, which the Yershei HaAv are more muhsik because the woman is always muhsik in her Nechsei Milug. And we're saying that the Yershei HaBaal are splitting with them. Must be that that's where Beis Shammai say that Yechleku on Nechsei Milug. Because V'loi Ketani doesn't say the opposite way of Yershei HaAv and Yershei HaBaal, that the inheritors of the father split it with the inheritors of the husband. And that is because the reason of Rabba doesn't apply over here, where he says the Svara of Kala Oymin Ligavis Kegavidami, because actually, as we said before, the Ksuba is not Oymin Ligavis as long as the husband's alive. And therefore, the case of the Ksuba, where you have the Yershei HaBaal would be Muchzik, the Yershei HaAv would not split it with them. Shema Minof, and you could infer actually a precise reading that it's not a question that Abaye could have asked from our Mishnah, that you see that a Suffolk is Moitzim De Vadai, which would be in the case of the Ksuba where the Vadai are the Yershei HaBaal and the Yavam, and the Yershei HaAv would be trying to remove it from that. Because actually, Beis Shammai agree that they don't say Yachloik on the Ksuba, and the one that gets the Ksuba in its totality is the Yavam, is the Yershei HaBaal.